Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, presented to you by the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate at the Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The views expressed here are those of the individual and do not represent the views of the Combined Arms Center, U.S. Army, or U.S. government.
Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, a U.S. Army Combined Arms Center podcast on emerging doctrine and the Army's vision of warfare. Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and I'm your host through our 12 Days of Doctrine. Today, on the sixth day of doctrine, Special Doctrine Division is giving to you, our listeners, a Swiss Army knife. I'll be honest, I have never owned a Swiss Army knife, but my older brother owned one. I always thought the mini scissors was the coolest tool of them all. But I won't get too nostalgic on you all. Today, we bring back to the show Lieutenant Colonel A.J. Redden from CAD's Tactics Division. He shows the two in-progress pieces of doctrine that will prove to be Swiss Army knives for staff officers, ATP 3-91, Division Operations, and the Staff Reference Guide, which are ATPs 5-0.2-1 and ATP 5-0.2-2. AJ, so this week at the DDF, we had a breakout section for Division Operations, which is the big book that the Tactics Division is working on. Could you talk about that book, where it's going and the big changes that you see?
Yeah, so ATP 3-91, Division Operations, that is our division's top priority. It's almost an all hands on deck until we can get that book out to the Army. And really, it's about 3-0 brought out, identified the division, principal tactical warfighting formation, but our current division ATP was last updated in 2014. So it's 10 years old. So purely from a time standpoint, it was time to update it. The purpose of it is really just to drive home that you know, bumper sticker, boilerplate statement of principal tactical warfighting formation. It's not the only role of the division, but that's the role that we are hammering home inside of this current rewrite of 391. I'll use an example. In the current version, there's an entire chapter about 25 to 30 pages that just talks about deployment operations. How do you deploy? It's really focused on like how does the division support BCTs deploying. You know, under modularity, and we were deploying, you know, BCTs at a time, and, you know, what was the division's, how did the division help the brigades, you know? We're slimming that down significantly, not because it's not important, but because that's not the focus of the book. And we talk about it in a very specific section inside of the publication, and then we say, hey, if you want to know more about Army deployment and redeployment, go read ATP 3-35, which talks about deployment and redeployment as a standalone publication. So that's just one example of kind of like, we're really trying to drive that emphasis and that focus home of, you know, the division fights.
Have you worked a lot with the Mission Command Training Program because they are assessing divisions? Yep. And corps?
We've gone to a couple of warfighters and we talk to MCTP regularly about trends that they see, what they see units struggle with within the confines of, you know, the scenario that is given to them. But yeah, we talk to MCTP, we talk to CAL, we talk to the other combat training centers, so JRTC, NTC, JMRC. We're trying to incorporate as much feedback even before we staff it as we can. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, every observation is going to make it into the book, obviously. But what are those common threads or trends that we can see that we can try and help a division out with?
How are you organizing the division ops?
So it's broken down 7 chapters, 5 appendices, and we kind of took generally speaking, a macro to a more micro perspective. So chapter 1, division foundations, kind of overview roles, functions of the division, and subordinate formations, but then also, hey, here are some of the other forces you might get during operations. You know, a PSYOP battalion, a chemical, a Seaburn battalion, as an example. That's just kind of to set the foundation for the book. Then we go into the fundamentals, and this is where we talk about, you know, the operations process, the integrating processes, information collection, targeting. We talk about the operational framework. And I think it's important that to mention what we're not doing is taking all the stuff in FM50, all of the stuff in FM390, and packaging it inside of one book for the division. We're really trying to pull out more so the so what for the division. So we as an example, currently we don't have anywhere in the book where we outline the seven steps of MDMP and all the sub-steps and inputs and outputs. That's FM50. But we talk about how the division is always in the operations process continuously, always assessing, always planning, always preparing, always executing, because they are really the first echelon where you can do all of those things at the same time. As you go lower, you get more singular focused. Then we go into chapter three, and there's two sections in it. One, we kind of expand upon the big formations and what do they do for the division. So the Divardi, the Sustainment Brigade, the Combat Aviation Brigade. But then we get into some of the other topics. So we talk about how do you move a large formation? A division is a pretty big formation. We haven't had to do that in a really long time. So how do you do that? How does a division execute reconnaissance and security operations? Acknowledging that almost no two divisions are the same right now. And they won't be for a while as, you know, force modernization continues to get implemented in the next 2, 3, 5 years, right? So, but that doesn't mean that, oh, well, I don't have something, so it means I can't do it. You know, we're trying to write to, if I talk about reconnaissance, hey, the division needs a ground reconnaissance capability. And we lay out a few different options that are available to the division based off of what they have or don't have. It's not telling them necessarily, you have to do it this way, but here's some options that are available to you based off of, you know, how your task organized, what is the core provided you, et cetera. And then we get into the meat of it, which is chapters 4 and 5, offense and defensive operations. Chapter 6, we talk about the enabling operations, really calling out the ones I haven't already mentioned. So, you know, link up, relief in place, stuff like that. And then chapter 7, stability, and then our 5 appendices. One's on command and support relationships, and we really tried to tailor that appendix specifically to what does this mean to a division, and give them some examples of the different command and support relationships that are commonly seen, commonly used during operations at the division level. There's a wet gap crossing appendix, a division passage of lines appendix. Again, things that divisions have to be comfortable and comfortable doing. So kind of giving them an example of how they would go about thinking through that problem set and doing it.
Sounds like a big book.
We're trying to keep it as concise as we can.
Yeah.
We're writing to those officers and NCOs that have never been on a division staff before. So, you know, we say that this is the principal tactical warfighting formation. You need to be really good at what you do. So we need to give them the appropriate tools to be able to be good at what they do. But this isn't going to be the one book to rule them all. That's kind of how I like to pitch it. You know, if you're walking into a planning session on an OPT on the division, you know, you need to have 5-0. You need to have 390. You need to have ESRG. In addition to this book, you need all of those things if you're going to do it, you know, right, or as right as you can be.
So you said that was the priority, all hands on deck for that. What else do you kind of have in the queue for Doctrine and the Tactics Division?
So the other book that we're working on, and it's just one individual working on it for right now, is ATP 5-02.1, the Staff Reference Guide. It first came out, I think, in 2019. And we recognize that, hey, it's been out for 5 years. A lot of doctrine has been updated in the last 5 years. Not just, 3.0, but, 2.0, 4.0. And that book is unique in the standpoint of there's not a lot of original writing. A lot of it is us compiling information from other books and trying to put it inside of a single book. So planning factors, tables, other useful information like that that can help a staff at any echelon go through the operations process, and really is catered towards planning. So it's not to replace those other doctrinal publications, but now you have, a book that kind of summarizes some of those, what we think are the key important things broken down by, warfighting function that you should walk into a planning session with an OPT or a battalion staff.
I haven't looked at the staff reference guide in a long time, but isn't the staff reference guide more of the science than the art?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I use the example, there are planning factors from the old FM 34-130, the old IPV manual from the information's from the 1984 one. That we put into the current version of the SRG because it had some good information in there that over time had dropped out of other current doctrinal publications, but we felt was important enough that, hey, we should probably pull this back in. There's two versions. So there's the one that the overwhelming majority of people reference and that has 90% of the information is UNCLASS on the APD website. There is a .2 that I think has one chapter that is CUI. And at the moment, I can't remember which exactly appendix that is. But there is one that is CUI that's back behind.
And then what conversations are you having outside of the doctrine community that are helping you transform, driving transformation?
I think the biggest ones for us is routinely engaging, as we mentioned, MCTP, the CTCs, call, and more so than just, the normal, when call comes to CAD and we have a conversation about once a quarter. But talking to the different centers about all, because we are very cognizant that all of the centers are extremely busy and have a lot of different initiatives going on that potentially impact the books that we write. So having those conversations, but I would say our biggest bang for our buck is really MCTP and the CTCs. Those are some really good collection opportunities for us to see how, how division commanders are fighting their divisions.
Going back to the COE Centers of Excellence, I think that the power of the Doctrine Developers Forum is to see how much everyone is transforming and how quickly things are changing that just like you said, are impacting our higher level books here at CAD.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not a day that goes by that we don't talk to at least one or more, Center of Excellence about something as it's impacting, the division book, which is good. We want that. We need that iterative feedback back and forth so that, we're really trying to make sure that there's no, that we try to reduce the amount of surprises or gotchas when something finally hits the street.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Just like writing new doctrine is a team effort, breaking doctrine takes a team. Without the Kerr and Special Doctrine Division here at CAD, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show. Please don't forget to subscribe on Amazon Music, Apple, Odyssey, Audible, Spotify, or YouTube. Also, go ahead and follow us on social media at U.S. Army Doctrine to get updates on new podcasts, Doctrine Digest videos, and publications. Finally, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Army, the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, or the Combined Arms Center. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this has been Breaking Doctrine.